And Dr. Harris will be with us for 2 days, and I'm going to add this on the end of this podcast here. He'll be with us 2 days, November 15th and 16th, for a two-day seminar from 10 o'clock until 4. What can people go ahead.
And then there's a demonstration, you know. There's a demonstration of all of this on Sunday, so it's my prayer is to be with you on that Sunday as well.
Oh, yeah. No, you're going to be with us on that Sunday. So that right. Sunday morning and that Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m., Sunday morning at 11. And so what can people expect in the two-day course with you? Give us a synopsis of what they can expect in those 2 days from 10 o'clock until 4.
Well, I think mainly what the preacher can expect is a kind of transforming understanding of the preaching process. I'm going to focus on sermonic method, that is methodology, to teach everybody a method for putting the sermon together. You know, and so we can't go wrong with learning more about methodology. And then inherent in my teaching method is my interest in hermeneutics. So I'm always trying to help the preacher understand that preaching is not just following a formulaic method, but it is also about interpretation and developing and pulling out of that text what it's trying to say and get out there. One of the maxims that we'll be coming across over and over again in the class is that the meaning of the text is in front of it, not behind it.
Hold on. Wait. This is so heavy. The meaning of the text, I love it when you hear it. The meaning of the text is in front of it and not behind it. Tell us, what are you saying in that?
What I'm saying is that that meaning is not just something that we find by excavating the text, looking at its historical and critical meaning and critical method and so forth, looking at redaction, criticism, and all the criticisms that go along with exegesis, but that meaning is a frontal exercise as well. And for me, that is where the liberation lies. The meaning of the text is in front of it is a statement of liberation and a statement of freedom. That is to say that no matter what you read in a commentary, I don't care who wrote it or when they wrote it, while it might be helpful, it is not as liberating as what might be in front of it. Mm. What I mean by this also intentionally is that oftentimes, you know, the slave preacher who could not read or write was able to offer a transforming interpretation to a scripture text in many ways by getting in front of it. And African Americans historically have been able to get in front of the text because the text in and of itself may have been grounded in some kind of hegemonic understanding of the writer, grounded in something other than liberation and freedom. And this is why I say that as African Americans, getting in front of the text is something that even our forebears and foreparents may have done as preachers. And I've just tried to codify it or give it a name and systematize it. To some extent, I'm arguing that a lot of our preachers have done this historically and done this all along.
Wow.
Because that, for me, when I talk about getting in front of the text or the meaning of the text being in front of it, to me, I'm saying, aha, the best sermon on this text has not been preached yet. The best sermon on this text is not written by Matthew Henry or anybody else. The best sermon on this text is waiting to be preached by the preacher who can, day after day and successfully, get in front of the text and not behind it.
So if I can say this, because this is powerful, a person like Nat Turner, who was an enslaved African-American preacher, end up leading a two-day rebellion of both enslaved and free black people in Southampton County, Virginia. That's probably not too far from you, is it?
Right.
That he was evidently able to read out of the book in front of the text and got almost like a revelation of the kingdom of God that began to find that it didn't fit what the oppressive system would have wanted him to see in the Bible.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, the slave preacher, even the slave preacher who could not read, understood that everybody talking about heaven ain't going there.
Mm.
I mean, they had a kind of understanding of the meaning of God and the meaning of Jesus Christ, apart from what the slave master taught. And yes, Nat Turner was, based on my own research, able to read and write. And so this whole notion of reading and writing, Nat Turner was practicing, you know, even in 1831,
yes,
the same year in which he was hanged and skinned alive as if he were a squirrel or a rabbit or something like that. But Turner's rebellion, in a very real sense, is a perfect example of what one would go through in search of freedom and in search of justice.
Wow.
And his death and the whole action suggests to us, you know, how dangerous one can become when one learns to read. I mean, Frederick Douglass pretty much says the exact same thing, that when one learns to read and write, but when one learns to read, one can no longer be a slave.
Mm.
So we have to work on our own understanding and interpretation of the power of reading and the power of the word and the inherent power that God has given us as readers and as writers and as preachers and teachers of the word. And so I also teach my students to write their sermons. And I say writing the sermon, you know, is an act of rebellion. Writing the sermon out is an act of rebellion because the slave master never wanted the black person or the black preacher to be able to read or write.
Mm. Oh, November 15th and 16th and the 17th, Dr. Henry James Harris. Dr. James Henry Harris, I done got so caught up here, I've got your name here turned around. Dr. Harris is going to be with us. Dr. James Henry Harris is going to be with us here in New York City. That's 310 Riverside Drive, 103rd and Riverside Drive. Go to the website at bishopjordan.com and get more information. You don't want to miss this experience. We're going to have breakfast, and we're going to have lunch for you there as well. But it's an experience. And as you can hear, he preaches the gospel, but you can hear it has the flavor of liberation all wrapped in it. Tell us quickly, why the book Preach Liberation?
Are you talking about the book by the title, Preaching
yes.
Liberation?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I wrote Preaching Liberation mainly because I think that is the responsibility of the black preacher in many ways. And in a lot of my research and a lot of my studying and going around listening, I was not hearing a lot about liberation. I was not hearing in a very real sense, a liberation message.
True.
Now, the truth of the matter is the black church is, you know, is oftentimes as evangelical as the white evangelical church. And it is also often quite conservative. But again, as T.R. Wilmore talks about in Black Religion and Black Radicalism, you know, the black church and the black preacher have always sort of understood that black religion is something more and something less than traditional white religion. And also, the black preacher has had to, in many ways, preach liberation, but also try to get along with the larger society. And so we've had to negotiate that kind of thing in order to just survive. And so I wrote Preaching Liberation to try to introduce the black church to a much more liberating gospel and to really advance some of the teachings and thinkings of people like James Cone and Gayle Wilmore and others, because folk in the black church were not necessarily as familiar with them as they should be. And it's still the case even today.
Yes.
And there are a lot of folks in the predominantly black church who have been much more influenced by American evangelicalism than they have anything else. And I don't have to tell you about the duplicitous behaviors and actions of white evangelicals. Mm-hmm. These are people who supported slavery.
Yes.
And they are people who support a lot of the federal policies, even today, that do not help foster the freedom and liberation of our people. And so I think, again, that's something that we have to take a little more seriously and examine a little more closely, you know, because if the message is not designed to help and to free black people, then I think we are doing our people a disservice and doing the gospel a disservice. My philosophy on all of this is that Jesus is the liberator, the ultimate liberator, and I think the gospel of Luke 4:18 makes that clear when Jesus is given an opportunity to preach his first sermon. He stood up in the synagogue and quoted from the book of Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor,
yes,
set at liberty those who are oppressed," mm-hmm, and so forth. So based on that text alone, you know, Jesus is often somebody other than what the white evangelical church has painted him to be. And I'll close by saying that even Martin Luther King, who was loved by many white people because they thought that he was more in synchrony with much of their thinking, but the truth of the matter is King was a radical himself, and in his letter from Birmingham City Jail, he writes this amazing statement, and I quote, "I walk past the white church, and I see their steeples spiraling toward heaven, and I wonder who is their God."
Oh, Jesus. Dr. Harris, I got to go back and read that letter.
Yes, sir.
That is radical. That is radical preaching.
Absolutely. Absolutely. King was misread and misinterpreted much throughout his lifetime. But I mean, you know, you go back and look at some of the things he wrote, and all you can say is, wow, he was ahead of his time.
Man. Okay, November 15th and 16th, get registered. He's going to be with us on the 17th for our morning service and our afternoon service. And listen, this place should be packed. If you're a pastor, you know a pastor, sponsor your pastor to get here. It is only, the price is on the website there. You'll find it as affordable as you know, anyone that wants to be there will be able to get there and be a part. Thank you so much. This was Impromptu Dr. James Henry Harris. He had no warning about this. I just called him. It is right now 10:53 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. He probably preached today. How many services you preached today, Dr. Harris?
We only had one service today.
Okay. So this is a preacher's, you know, and I know what Sunday's like. You like want to retire from all of what you've had to deal with on Sunday. But nevertheless, thank you for being so candid, speaking from your heart. Anything else you'd like to say?
Let me just say I'm looking forward to it. So I'm looking forward to sharing. This is something that is my life. I've been doing it a long time, and I'm always trying to do it better and to say it better and to help our people understand. And it's going to be a learning experience. I always say what I'm, you know, I learn and you learn. We're learning together. This is not a one-way street. It's a way to engage our people and to get a better understanding of what God is calling all of us to do. So I'm excited, and I do this out of love for our people. Yeah. And I look forward to coming to New York and sharing what the Lord has laid on my heart.
Yes. Thank you so much. God bless you. And those of you that are listening, remember this, that destiny is not left up to chance, but it is a matter of choice. You were just listening to Bishop Ebron R. Jordan and Dr. James Henry Harris.